Hey, everybody, and thank you for joining me tonight. We're going to be continuing on in spiritual warfare. I want to flesh this out a little bit more with you. I want to go a little bit deeper because after pastoring God's church for 30 years, I can tell you this. There's a lot of people that has no idea what's going on around them in the spirit world that inundates our lives, you see. I mean, it inundates our lives. You do what you spiritually are. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. What you are within your heart will dictate how you live your life. And Satan wants to have direct influence over that. He wants to wreck you. He wants to come in and destroy you. He wants to come in and fill your mind with wickedness. He wants to inundate your life with his tactics and his influence in all aspects of your life so that he can tear you to pieces, you see. I chose a scripture by the leading of the Holy Spirit out of the book of Mark. Jesus had direct contact with someone who was demonically possessed. I want you to understand, spiritual warfare is you and me in direct combat with evil spirits, with demonic spirits, with demonic things, with Satan himself. Understand that this is what spiritual warfare is. The battle that ensues so that you can maintain your existence as a Christian and live a Christian life, Satan is going to come against you, you see. And you have to understand the weapons of warfare that is at your disposal and what he uses, the tactics that he uses. Most Christians don't know this. Like I said, I've pastored the church for 30 years and I've seen people not have an inkling of how to fight against the devil. There is a whole world that we are blind to, that we are only awakened to when we get born again, and we begin to see a little bit of that world, but it is a world that we are not used to looking at, and we're unfamiliar with. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. In Mark chapter 5, it says this, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans." Now listen at this story. "And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean or evil spirit, a demonic spirit, who had his dwellings, he lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been just pulled apart, the scripture says, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones." That's an interesting thing because cutting is a very demonic thing. You begin to cut the image of God. You're made in the very image and likeness of God, and Satan wants to defile that, you see, cutting it with stones, trying to hurt man, trying to destroy man and destroy the image of God. And the Bible says, "And when he seen Jesus from afar off, he ran and worshiped him." Understand, he ran up to Jesus. He instantaneously knew who he was and cried out with a loud voice, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." And Jesus said to him, "Come out, you unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What's your name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." I want you to take note that this was a conversation that Jesus was having, not with the man, but with the demons that was within him. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us wisdom as we walk through the word together, God, that we can see it and understand it and know it, Lord God. Lord, that we can understand and begin to unveil the truth of the spirit world that's all around us, God, that we have to contend with, even when we don't know much about it, Lord. God, help us to get into the word and to understand it. The scripture clearly tells us, "My people are destroyed because of their lack of knowledge." God, what we don't know can hurt us. So Lord, help us to know. Give us an unction to know. Give us a desire, a zeal to find out more, to know more, so that we can save ourselves and others, God. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand that right here we see Jesus having dialogue with a man that had been totally inundated and controlled. He was totally possessed. You are witnessing an exorcism in the scripture, and Jesus is having a conversation with a demon that had seized control of this man's vocal cords and was speaking through this man. This is an amazing set of scriptures. You can see here that demonic activity is absolutely real. When Jesus set this man free, he was totally freed and back into his right mind. Satan had, I don't know what led to this. We're not told what led to this. We don't know what this man was doing, that he got totally possessed by the devil. But there are things in this life that if you start doing them and you start putting yourself amongst these things, you will be directly in Satan's territory. Trust me, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And Satan will absolutely wreck you if you do not keep yourself in the scripture and keep your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ. First, the very first thing I want you to understand is the reality of the spirit world. We just read you this. This didn't stop in Jesus' day. It's going on today as well. Spiritual warfare is absolutely real. Demons and demonic activity is absolutely real. Understand that there is a world of spirituality that we're involved in that most of our eyes are completely blind to. Listen, Satan, he wants absolutely nothing more than to keep your attention off of Jesus Christ, keep you distracted in the things of the world, keep your mind and heart occupied on things other than God, so that he can use the power of deception and evil to keep your life in total imprisonment. Most people have no idea of the battle, like I said, that's going on all around them and is within them, and how they're even involved in it. The first thing that I want you all who are listening to this to understand is this is not some sort of fantasy, some sort of fiction that I'm preaching on. That we are embarking on is absolute truth. You are a spiritual creation at the core of you. Listen to me. It really controls you and what you do. You are spiritual in nature. Listen, what you believe, you live. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can claim to be a Christian all day long. You can confess Christianity without possessing Christianity. Listen, if your life is made up of all these kinds of evils, that's what you believe in. That's what you believe in. How you live your life is indicative of your spiritual condition within you. I want to say that again. How you live your life is indicative of your spiritual condition. If the life you live is made up of evil, like cursing, and drugs, alcohol, pornography, rage, violence, if the Bible describes the sin that you like, and you call it fun, things like adultery, fornication, witchcraft, delving into the occult, Ouija boards, mysticism, enchantments, ghosts, and the like, you need to be born again because your heart is full-fledged in a fallen state, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. You need to be delivered from that. Even as a Christian person, you can fall back into these things because there is an enchantment to it. There is a wooing to it. Satan wants to bring you back to it. Some people are drawn to things of evil nature. We all are, really, because we're all fallen in nature as we begin this life. But listen, some people are drawn to spiritual wickedness, to evil and witchcraft. Many people will say, well, I would never be in any kind of an occult. But let me tell you, if you enjoy those things, if you enjoy the Ouija boards, the reading of tarot cards, reading occultic novels and books, involved in any kind of mind control, ESP, clairvoyance, horoscopes, and the like, or these things of this nature, you, my friend, are right in the middle of the devil's backyard. The scripture says, what is not of faith is sin. This stuff is an invitation to the devil by you yourself to come into your life and subdue you and take over full control. So the very first thing you need to be doing is watching out over things like this, because people love horror films. I'm telling you, these things have a spiritual connotation to them. They're an invitation to the devil to come into you. You need to be very careful. Do you know that the Satanic Church was established in 1966 and the Satanic Bible was written in 1969? And since that time, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have joined that church and have read these unholy texts, and it is going crazy in colleges across the land. Battling the devil is every single day. Each day brings about a new set of circumstances within the warfare that is happening within you. And every single day, listen closely, every single day you have choices to make that will be influenced by who you are spiritually inside you, either be godly or devilish. Your choices that you're going to make each and every day. You are in a fight for your life. If you lose, it could mean eternity in hell. Don't ever forget that. Evil spirits or demons function within people. Satan has power. Demons have power. But know this, that Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. And Satan is a defeated enemy. And the hope of your survival is absolutely secure in Jesus Christ. Put your hand in his hand and let's get tapped into the Lord and leave this world behind. The next thing that you have to know is that you have authority. You have authority. I talked about this earlier in another podcast. What this means is, once you've been saved and are spiritually and miraculously born again, you, as the scripture tells us, become a child of God. Your spiritual genealogy, if you will, changes. You're no longer spiritually a child of fallen Adam and Eve. You get born again. And as a result of that, you get begotten of the Father in heaven spiritually, and your descendancy is of Him. Now, you're a child of God, and that comes with authority. You see, this is something the rest of the world does not have. You have authority, if you are a Christian, given to you to use the name of Jesus. You have the ability in God to overcome the forces of evil. But because most Christians don't know this, they allow Satan to mow them down, or they're caught unaware and find themselves nearly destroyed because their lives are tattered and torn in spiritual warfare, and that begins to show itself in their everyday lives. They get just torn to pieces because they don't even realize what's going on, and they don't use the authority in Jesus' name. And so they make it of no effect in their life because they don't even care to know. Listen, let me talk to you about authority. I taught the church this. When I worked for a city in Ohio, I was the operations manager of this city. I had authority to do things. I had been authorized to do things that nobody else could do. I could sign my name and make $1 million purchase. Nobody else could do that. I had control over a multi-million-dollar budget. I could make purchases, assign employees, fire employees, discipline employees, give promotions, etc., because I had been given authority. Joe Smith walking down the road couldn't do that because they did not have the authority. You see, as a Christian, you are authorized by God to do battle with the devil and win. That brings direct glory to God. That brings direct glory to Jesus Christ. In the book of Joel 2:32, it says, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Shall be delivered. It's a direct promise. This is how to win against an enemy who wants nothing more than to destroy you. Now, I want to get into a list of tools and tactics that Satan uses so that you can identify them as they happen to you. And let me tell you, I guarantee you they're happening to you. Now, I'm not going to go into all of them. I'm going to get mainly into the biggest one, and that is temptation. There's all kinds of them. There's deception. There's temptation. There's the lust of the flesh. There's the lust of the eyes. There's the pride of life. The devil's a murderer. The devil's a liar. The devil's a predator. There are so many things that we can get into, but I want to get into what the Holy Spirit said, because temptation is something that we all go through. The temptation to do evil. Right out of the gate, Satan will cause evil to be so appealing to you, and you must guard against that. Listen to me. Only you can get into the specifics of your life and what that means in the statement that I just made. Let me say it again. Satan will cause evil to be so appealing to you. What evil? What evil is it? What are you most susceptible to? That's what Satan's going to make so very appealing. You have to learn that your emotions and that your feelings can lead you straight into a satanic trap that can destroy you. We're not led by emotions. We're not led by feelings. We are led by faith in the Word of God. That's how you live, by faith, not by feelings. Satan can give you euphoric feelings, feelings that are beautiful, that's in sin. Satan can make you feel wonderful. The Bible says there is fun in sin for a season. You can feel good in doing evil for a little while. And then hopefully conviction hits you. Conviction is something that every Christian has to possess. You can keep doing things over and over and over again to where you start to desensitize yourself to the feelings of convictions. And when that happens, brother, that is a dangerous land to live on. To where your soul, your feelings for God has been cauterized like with a hot iron, the scripture says. Your conscience becomes seared with a hot iron. Do you still feel what God is doing with you? Do you still feel it when you do wrong? Do you hate it when you sin? You should. That's the mark of true Christianity. Listen to this. You have to learn to live by that faith, or you will walk into a satanic trap, I guarantee you. I want you to understand, Satan not only thrives in your desires, okay, and we'll get into that, but Satan thrives in your weaknesses. Yes, he will thrive in your desires. The things that you love most, he will try to draw you away from Christ to pursue. But Satan also thrives in your weaknesses, and those desires can be spiritual weaknesses. He doesn't wreak much havoc where you're strong. He does his best work in your weaknesses. Whenever your life, or wherever your life, I should say, is most vulnerable, there you will find the demon that will tempt you. Struggling in your marriage? You can absolutely betcha. Satan will draw your attention to the greener grasses, if you understand my speech, and will work in others to woo you away from your spouse. Temptation has so many avenues to it. Once maybe you were an alcoholic, but on this certain occasion, but God had delivered you from that, but on this certain occasion, you find yourself so drawn to want to take another drink. Boy, that day is just so hot. That flavor, that taste, you can almost feel it again. That euphoric feeling, that relaxation that you felt when you took a drink, when your friends was around. Satan will begin to create all these triggers in you to try to get you to step back into what God had delivered you from. Just one, your mind says, as the demon of your past tries to reclaim you The drug addict who's been delivered feels those old compulsions as the old evil demonic spirit that once controlled him or her causes them to recollect their previous need to overcome the overwhelming desire to get high and how their entire being wanted it and needed it. These would be probably the most common amongst the temptations. But the antidote is as common as well as these temptations. The only way to overcome it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the deliverer. He made it through the temptations and overcame them. And your victory is secure because it was Jesus who won the victory. And God will impute that victory to you if you just call upon His name. Know this, that everything we go through, Jesus went through. I want to get into that just for a second. You see, Jesus went through every single thing that you and I would ever go through, and He beat it. And He was obedient to God through it. And because of Jesus' victory, we have victory. It isn't something that we have done. He did it. Jesus overcame it all. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Jesus, we have victory. And then when you believe, this is how Christianity works, folks. When you believe in Jesus Christ in saving faith, when you finally submit your life to Him, God takes the victories that Jesus won in this world and He imputes them. He gives them to you. Thank God. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. Jesus did all the work. Thank God. And that victory is given to us when we finally believe. The best way to wall off our hearts from Satan's enticements is to know the Holy Scriptures. You have to get into the Word. They teach us how to withstand the enemy's ploys by giving us a glimpse of the devil's character, folks. Listen. It shows us His character. It shows us His tactics. It shows us His purposes. And finally, in temptation, Satan will appeal to your most inward weaknesses and desires. In 1 Corinthians 10:12 through 14, Paul gives us a pretty hefty warning here. He says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Listen, in other words, that's old King James language. When temptation comes, in other words, God will not allow you to be overtaken. If you call upon His name, He'll give you an escape. And let me tell you what that escape is. The blood of Jesus Christ and the power of His cross. That's the escape. But a lot of Christians go through temptation and they don't even think about battling. They just think about, woe is me right now. Or either they latch on to the temptation and allow Satan to totally destroy their lives. Let me just say, lust. John, 1 John 2:16 tells us that Satan uses these three ways to tempt us. The lust of the flesh. The flesh means anything fallen about our nature, basically. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Pride opens the door for temptation, and Satan uses lust as part of the strategy to lead us into temptation. Lust is an overwhelming desire or craving. Thus, lust gives Satan a foothold to tempt our flesh. You see, we're born a natural man with specific needs to be met. The natural man really basically has three components: the body, the soul, and the spirit. The body needs to be touched. It needs to be fed. It needs to be free from pain. It needs to rest. It needs to work or exercise. Your soul is made up of your mind and your emotions and your will, and the soul has needs that are controlled by the way we think, how we feel, and what we want. These things motivate us, and or they can affect the decisions that we make on a daily basis. That's why lust is such an effective tool of Satan. Lust, and I'm going to finish up with this, lust is a desire that's within our fallen nature that we have to keep under the control of the Holy Spirit's, of the Holy Spirit living within us. When the Bible tells us to flee from lust in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, it points out the dangers that come from allowing lust to control our decisions and our behaviors. Romans 6, 12 tells us that. When we are lured into temptations, this almost always involves a component of lust on our part. When we act on our lusts, we fall to sin. Temptation in and of itself isn't sin. We can resist temptation by identifying these tactics, by using the Holy Spirit to overcome these things. However, sin still needs to be forgiven, and forgiveness only comes through Jesus Christ. Sin brings death. The death of dreams, the death of the peace of God, the death of spiritual destiny in Christ. We'll continue on in some of the tactics of the devil if that's what the Lord wills, and I feel that's how He's leading. And I want you to pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, there are so many people going through so many things, decisions to be made, hefty decisions to be made. Lord God, give us clarity of thinking. Lord, give us, Lord God, that shelter, that refuge to run back into, Lord God. Lord, that place, that secret place, Lord God. Lord, that fort that we can run back into where the enemy is off of us, God, where we have clarity of thinking. Lord, in your presence, Lord, is where we need to be. Help us, Lord, to see the devil's activity in our life and rebuke it. Help us to take authority, God, in Jesus' name over the weaknesses in our life, Lord God, over the things we struggle with. Help us, Lord, to remove the devil with your help, God. Help us to flee the lusts of this life, God. Flee the things that we're thinking about. Flee the things, Lord. There might be somebody out there right now, Jesus, who's about to make a terrible decision. God, in Jesus' name, I pray for them right now, God, that you would touch them and help them, and that you would remove the devil from their mind and their thinking and their thought process, and they would cling to your Holy Spirit. God, we ask your blessings in Jesus' holy name. Amen.